Oh, yes, indeed. Let's go hour number two on a Friday. If you're a Longhorn fan, you get to take a breath. Other teams with off weeks get to do that as well. We've obviously been breaking all that down this week, but we got another big week of college and pro football for you. By the way, it's Kansas City and the Chargers that are off in the NFL this week, but we're going to dig into both college and pro football right now. Every Friday about this time, it's one of our favorite segments. It is the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, bringing us the one and only Brandon Lang. Check out BrandonLang.com. Check out Believe Me with Cordell Stewart, where he is slowly trying to turn Cordell Stewart into a betting expert. Brandon Lang, how are you?
Well, I've done that, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, he's kicked my butt in the NFL the last couple weeks on the show. He didn't pick college, but I would crush him. So I came on your show last week and talked about the run I'm on in college, that I was going for a 10th straight college winner on Saturday and a third straight 200-dimer, and your Longhorn fans won't be too happy with me because I came with Oklahoma State plus the 6 over Texas, and we cashed it. So on Saturday, we'll be going for college football winner number 11 in a row and 200-dimer number 4 in a row. And I don't know who it is yet. Got a few things that I'm liking, but it's I'm 15-4 in college football at BrandonLang.com. So it's pretty special run, man. And an 18-4 my last 22 overall. So
wow.
To do that in football season, and I come on your show and talk about games and give out sides of games, and I do pretty good on those. But the one I'm held accountable for, the one I'm hauled in front of the judge for, is the one that I put on that website. So it's been a dream run in college football, but you know, it's what have you done for me lately? So there's a few things I like, so let's rock and roll.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, you had the Oklahoma State plus 6. You did mention that to Longhorn fans last week. You mentioned LSU minus 2 to us, Syracuse plus the 14, Buffalo plus 7.5, and they got that outright win. So a lot of good stuff in college. Let me go with, and obviously LSU has an off week this week, so they're not playing. But let's go to that Oklahoma State team. You said they were the right side of the game last week. Now they've got to re-energize again and go to Manhattan for this ranked matchup, and I'm seeing K-State at home minus 1.5. There's quarterback questions on both sides. What do you make of the Big 12 tilt here?
I'm going to ride them. I'm going to ride them again. I think they're the best team in the Big 12. They should not have lost to TCU. Had the two-score lead in the second half, and I just, pound for pound, I just think they're the best team in the Big 12, and I got to believe there's a little bit of a hangover for K-State, you know, with the way they lost to TCU, up 28-10, and then both quarterbacks went down. Then they brought in the third stringer, who made one pass, which was a pick six. He quickly went and grabbed the bench and sat on the bench, and then they put Will Howard back in, and he couldn't score, and they just, you know, to lose the way they did, now that the quarterback's banged up, I think it's all systems go for Oklahoma State, who should be undefeated and ranked in the top 5. And that loss to TCU is still a head-scratcher, so I'm gonna ride him again. What's the point?
All right.
Don't tell us that OK State's the best team, because that hurts Texas fans with the way they had them last week. But let's talk about another one, B-Lang, another Big 12 matchup. We got Baylor versus Texas Tech. Tech minus 2.5. Jerry Maguire definitely knows Dave Aranda from being under his staff. Who do you like in this one?
Baylor is 19-1 against the spread as a conference underdog versus an opponent coming off a straight up and against the spread win, which Texas Tech is over West Virginia. Inside that number, a perfect 15-0 against the spread if that team has at least one loss on the year, which Texas Tech does. Get you some, Carson! Carson! get you some of Baylor plus the points.
Baylor plus those points. All right, talking with Brandon Lang, BrandonLang.com. A couple of Big 12 games there. Brandon, how about the Big 10 tilt? We're all looking for a team that can hang with Ohio State for four quarters. Is Penn State that team, and is 15 too much? What do you think?
I am not going near Penn State. I will lose with Ohio State before I take a shot with Penn State, because I took a shot with Penn State at Michigan, and I watched Michigan run for 1,784 yards on the ground. In fact, they just picked up another 30 yards on the ground. They're not even playing. It was embarrassing. And I get it. They took care of Minnesota last week in Penn State. That boat P.J. Fricks rowing's become a canoe, and it's sinking like the Titanic. Not his fault. Lost Tanner Morgan, his quarterback, after the 4-0 start. and they just, the backup hadn't been able to get it done. So for me, I think you lose with Ohio State before you try to win with Penn State.
All right, fair enough.
I got another Big 12 matchup for you, B. Lang. That TCU-West Virginia game, it could be a trap one for TCU, especially with you thinking that they're not even the best team in the Big 12. -7.5 for TCU. Who do you like in this one?
My man Neil Brown is 6-1 against the spread in games versus undefeated opponents. If that opponent allows 30 points or less per game, which they do, including 4-0 straight up against the spread when he sports a losing record. You look at TCU, 0-4 against the spread on the road, playing in conference revenge, 1-7 against the spread before playing Texas Tech. Ouch. Get you some. Carson! Get you some of West Virginia plus the points.
Ooh, an 11 a.m. kick, too. Yeah, that one's been blinking at me all week. That's going to be a strange one. All right, Brandon, how about the evening kick in Knoxville? Tennessee is all the way up to a 12-point favorite in this game. Kentucky-Tennessee, a ranked matchup this week. What do you think?
Russ, put the aluminum foil down. Put the lighter and the foil down and the spoon. Russ, you're not cooking, Russ. There's nothing to cook, Russ. You don't cook anymore. I'm going to go with the dog here. You know, you look at this Tennessee team. They got a little game next week. They got a little game next week with a team called Georgia. And you look at Kentucky, man, good numbers across the board. They are 11-2 coming off a bye. As an SEC dog of 7 or more points, 11-2 against the spread, gets better. They're 10-2 straight up, 9-1 against the spread when coming off a win. And get this, they are 15-5 against the spread versus undefeated opponents over under Mark Stoops, including 10-1 against the spread in their last 11 games. I don't think they can win the game outright, but with Tennessee having the 105th ranked defense in college football, I like Kentucky plus the double digits.
All right.
All right, B. Lang. Let's go to the game that Chad will be attending this weekend.
Yes,
Ole
indeed.
Miss versus Texas A&M. With all the crap going on in College Station, Ole Miss is only a -1.5 favorite. Who you like in this one?
$100 million. The man getting paid $100 million. And the man is feeling the pressure. Jimbo Fisher. I call him Jumbo or Dumbo. You know, the elephant with the big ears. Man getting paid. His players could get paid car dealership endorsements, and this is what the product that you have. Now, with all that being said, I came on your show last week. I said, go against Ole Miss. I said, they haven't played anybody. And as crazy as it sounds, I'm going to come right back and take Texas A&M plus the points. Jimbo is 14-3 straight up at home off consecutive losses, including 2-0 straight up and against the spread as an underdog. Get you some.
How about that? Boy, I hope he's right. I hope you're right about that one, Brandon. All right, before we leave college, anything else we missed?
Notre Dame plus the points over Syracuse.
Okay.
Ooh.
You're Syracuse. You got them beat. Stupid D lineman knocks the quarterback of bounds after he gets stopped. It's on third down. That night's the drive. They score, and they end up letting it slip away. Now you got to get up off the deck and play Notre Dame. Notre Dame 5-0 straight up and against the spread. Their last five battles versus the ACC, 17-6 against the spread as a dog versus an opponent coming off a loss, including 10-1 against the spread. If they're coming off a win of 4 or more points, the Irish going to Syracuse and shock the world and beat the Cuse.
Interesting. All right, Brandon Lang, BrandonLang.com. Let's go to the NFL. We'll start with those Cowboys. They got a nice win against Detroit and certainly covered a number. This week, the number's all the way up to 10. Wow, I saw it at 9, 9.5. Money's still coming in on the Cowboys. Cowboys -10 based on what you saw with the Bears on Monday night. What do you make of that one?
The whole world was on New England Monday night. Not yours truly. Took the Bears plus 8.5. I had my buddies call me up after and say, bro, how'd you use the Bears? Patriots coming off those two blowouts of Detroit and Cleveland. Like, why'd you come with the Bears? I said, pull up the Bears schedule. They've been in every game this year. No, they lost by 17 to Green Bay. Did you watch the game with 5 minutes to go? It's a 10-point game, and the Bears got 4th and inches at the goal line to make it a 3-point game. They don't get it. and then Rodgers went the other way. I go, they compete, man. They compete, and they don't quit, and every game's been a single-digit game. So I will say to you again, ride the Bears again plus the points. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Cowboys outright. I didn't expect them to beat New England outright by 19. I expect them to cover the 8.5, and I expect them to cover the 10 here. Dallas looked a little rusty with Dak. Detroit, I mean, you feel sorry for Dan Campbell. He's such a nice guy. And if he throws the challenge flag, the tight end probably scores because replay showed that he scored. You got 178 coaches. You got 150 of them up in the booth. You got another 30 walking the sideline. Everybody's got a headset. Not one guy says, red flag! Dan, throw the red flag!
I know.
Dan, throw the red flag! Dan, you got to throw it! Dan! Dan! Like, I swear to God. You saw the replay.
Yeah.
He scored. And he's got the red flag. Dan! Throw the red flag, Dan! So what happened? Well, just like everything with Detroit, you don't throw the red flag, the guy fumbles on the next play. I mean, you can't make this stuff up with that team, man. You can't. And so here comes another team from the NFC North. And by the way, Dallas 3-10 against the spread, their last 13 hosting an NFC North opponent.
Interesting.
Yeah, B. Lang, I thought Dan Campbell should have threw the red flag on that play, too. He's definitely going to be regretting that one with that Jamal Williams fumble. But another game that's making me scratch my head a little bit this weekend is the Patriots being -2.5 against the 5-2 Jets. And even though they lost Breece Hall, it looks like the Jets, they've been rolling lately. What can you tell us about this game?
Bill Belichick coming off a loss. The Jets, their last 16 divisional home games are 3-13 against the spread. Yes, the Jets are winning, but Zach Wilson has only thrown one touchdown pass in his last four games. New England, game 8, week 8, game 8, 9-1 against the spread the last 10 years. In this week, game 8 games, Patriots, honest to points.
All right. Brandon, the only winning matchup of the week happens in rainy Seattle, and apparently there will be rain maybe rolling through at game time. Giants at the Seahawks. Obviously, folks around these parts are paying attention to those 6-1 Giants in the Cowboys division. Seahawks by 3 is what I'm seeing here.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
You ever hear the saying, late to the dance?
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story. So my boy's a member of Bel Air in L.A., and he plays golf with Strahan the other day. And so we're having cocktails afterwards, and he says to Strahan, he said, what's the difference? He says, well, he says, Dambo came in and brought us all us veterans back. Wants us in the locker room, wants us around the guys, wants us to just kind of be around the team. And it's made all the difference in the world. And he said, but Dambo didn't think they were going to be that good. He called Jimmy Johnson before the season and said, what did you tell your Cowboys during that 1-15 season to keep them engaged and so they didn't quit on you? Like, he didn't think they were going to be very good, and he still thinks that they're overachieving. So late to the dance is that the Giants have covered every game this year as an underdog. They have, the only game they didn't cover was the Monday night game against Dallas when they were a favorite. Everybody's going to jump on their bandwagon. And they got to go all the way to the Pacific Northwest in a tough spot against what I feel is the most surprising team in the NFL. Name the top three quarterbacks in the NFL QBR. Can you do it?
After some of the numbers I've seen, Geno's got to be in there.
Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Geno.
Wow.
Smith.
That's crazy.
So you look at that and you say to yourself, hey, you know what? I'm going to buy the half point, take Seattle -2.5, and call for the Giants to lay a clunker, finally, on the road in this spot.
Interesting. Yeah, Brandon, the other day I was looking at his stats, and when I saw that he was completing, what is it, 73, 74, 75% on the year, I had no idea his numbers were that good.
Unreal. And listen, I had him on that first Monday night game against Denver, and he got the job done. He has only gotten better as the years go on.
Man, it's crazy.
B. Lang, this might not be a household game, but it is around these parts because of Sam Ehlinger, the Colts versus the Commanders with my guy Taylor Heinicke buying shoes for every team he beats. He's probably going to try to buy some blue ones after this game. Colts -2.5. Let us know about this game.
Yeah, listen, I'm like an Indian at home. I know Taylor got it done at home last week over Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. I get it, but I just feel like our boy Sam's ready to roll. Frank Reich wouldn't have put him there if he wasn't ready to roll. I mean, you feel sorry for Matt Ryan.
Do you, though? Do you feel sorry for him, though?
I mean, listen, I'm sensitive and I have a heart, so I feel sorry for people. I'm just being very transparent here. I feel if I see someone Down syndrome or I see someone in a wheelchair, or I immediately feel compassion. I feel for people, man, and I feel for the guy that he got that money and he came there and he's completely imploded. I mean, he's only thrown 241 interceptions in 7 games. I mean, that doesn't make him that person.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah.
And he literally just, they really thought it'd be a good fit. I got tickets to the game on Sunday if I want to go, and I just don't know if I want to hang out in Indy for the weekend. So, with that being said, I'm a big Sam Ehlinger fan. I know his story with his dad, and granted, he cost me a few dollars in the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for coming out. Have a nice day. I ain't hating on you. But at the end of the day, I just think Indianapolis overall, better team. I lean towards the Colts.
Yeah, a lot of Sam Ehlinger fans, obviously, in this area, and they'll become Colts fans for a week at least. All right, Brandon, it is history when Green Bay goes to Buffalo. I believe I heard this right. First time Aaron Rodgers has ever been a double-digit dog, and it's minus 11 from what I'm seeing here.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I'll say it again. I came on your show a few weeks ago when Buffalo was playing Pittsburgh. And I said they might win that game 178-3.
Yeah.
Well, the final was 38-3. Nah, I was off by 140 points, but listen, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Again, that made me a bad person. I think he's this big an underdog for a reason, and I think they're in trouble. I really do. I don't believe Buffalo is going to take it easy on them. I don't, and I think there's some discord. I think there's some discord amongst Aaron and his teammates, and you blew a 17-point lead against the Giants. You can't beat Washington on the road, and now you're facing the number one team in the NFL that has blown the doors off the Titans, blown the doors off the Steelers, blown the doors off the Rams. I'm sorry. As crazy as it sounds, not taking Aaron Rodgers plus 11, I think it's 11 for a reason. I'm going to lay it.
That's a night game, by the way. That's a Sunday nighter for everybody to see. All right, Brandon, did we miss anything in the NFL?
No, you touched on it all. Arizona plus 3.5 over the Vikings. Cliff Kingsbury as a road dog, 15-5 against the numbers, 7-1 if that team's coming off a win, and they are 9-2 with DeAndre Hopkins in the lineup. Ooh. I will take that 3.5 with Arizona.
How about that? That's Brandon Lang. Check out BrandonLang.com. Check out Believe Me with Cordell Stewart. He's turned him into a betting monster, ladies and gentlemen. Brandon, enjoy the games, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff.
Thanks,
also,
B-Line.
If you're looking for them on Twitter, at Believe Sports, the Believe Podcast Network. That's BLEAV. He says Bears plus 10 is the play. That one I agree with, Zay. I think the Cowboys win the game, but I think Bears plus 10 is probably the way to bet that game. I think that is a bar fight waiting to happen.
Yeah, I would respectfully disagree. I think that Raekwon Smith.
Uh-huh.
I think that the trade from him,
You think it'll affect that defense enough?
I think the Quinn move, the way we saw Raekwon Smith, the way that he reacted. I think the Cowboys are going to drive him this week.
God, I hope you're right. I would love to not have to sweat through that game, but as a Cowboys fan watching this defense, I'm prepared every week to grind every bit. I told you last week, 4 full quarters. And if you watch that full game with the Lions, it was not 24-6 the whole game.
No, it wasn't.
It was 10-6 and tense for a lot of that game. So that's what I'm prepared for again.
Yeah. And I just think you would think they would have the formula, the Bears, with what they showed against the Patriots, like the way they used Justin Fields and whatnot. And, you know, they look good and all, but, man, I just think the move that they just made to the Eagles this week. I think that's really going to affect them. And the Cowboys, they're going to benefit from that.
Yeah, and two straight roadies is tough.
It is tough.
And you got to do an early
short
kick.
Short
week, early kick, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's going to be tough. That works against the Bears a little bit. You're right. All right, a lot of stuff. Remember, Bears, Cowboys, 11 a.m. pregame, 12 o'clock kick on Sunday right here on the Horn. Up next, we'll get you the Flex 30 segment. LBJ won 96-0 last night. But there's something you need to know about that other team to help explain it. Plus, Isaiah's Bowie Bulldogs didn't quite lose by that much, but they did lose a little bit. And Westlake's streak is still going.
Yeah, somebody in the specs texted me. I was like, Zay, why don't you sound so lively today? What's wrong?
Yeah, we'll
F you guys. How about that?
We'll tell you why Zay doesn't sound as lively as he has in the past coming up on the Horn. Oh, it's going to be interesting. Denim and leather. Oh, man.
And leather.
Saxon.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Come on. It's the only thing that was in my head. I had to say it. All right, a little Saxon with denim and leather. Proud of myself there. You also had a little Jerry Lee Lewis earlier. Rest in peace to the killer, Jerry Lee Lewis. Go get yourself some Jerry Lee today. He is dead at the age of 87. The Pretenders also on the show today.
Yeah, knowing Jerry Jones, he probably had Jerry Lee Lewis play his full catalog. What made him go over.
Oh, come on now. One of my favorite Jerry Lee Lewis stories musically was he played, I can't remember the exact venue, but he played some famous place. And they special ordered this priceless piano, apparently. Like the area it was everything they could do to get it, and they got it in there, and it was just this absolute priceless piano. He ended up not only doing the full act and the, you know, beating on that piano like he always did, not only did he jump up on the piano, he set it on fire.
What?
And destroyed it by the end of the show. It was like rock and roll to the nth degree, but the piano folks were not happy.
Yeah, that's a different type of class.
Yeah, right. I don't know if it was, but Stradivarius is the violin thing. So I don't know what brand piano it was. If it was just it was some legendary thing.
Yeah.
He supposedly,
line a guitar on fire, pretty cool. Piano, right. Probably against the code.
He torched it. Yeah, he torched that bad boy. All right, so a lot of stuff going on today. Thanks to Brandon Lang for his time. Coming up at 2:05, Jeff Ketchum of OrangeBloods.com. A Phillies fan, he's like me, rooting for Philadelphia in this series. Zay has already said he's rooting for the Astros in this thing to get the win and maybe get a little bit of that, you know, curse talk, but get a little bit of that tainted title discussion off of him from 2017, kind of legitimize things. We've had some interesting texts coming in from people. And I got a text earlier from an Astros fan that said, it really pissed me off when I heard they were cheating. And I want them to win this thing because I feel like it would legitimize some of these guys.
Yeah.
And if I was an Astros fan, that is how I would feel about it. It would have crushed me to find out they were involved in something like that. I know a lot of fans have tried to go with the everybody was cheating angle, and they're still trying to look back into 2017 and, you know, is there evidence that multiple teams were cheating? If that makes you feel better, that's fine. But this is a world champion that they punished for cheating. And that's a fact. So that's what Astros fans are having to deal with. I could definitely understand how this one could cleanse your soul a little bit.
Yeah, well, if I'm an Astros fan, I'm still nervous because those Phillies, they're coming in very confident. They got some pretty big bats on that side, so it should be a hell of a contest tonight.
There better not be. If there's an Astros fan that's overly confident in this series, then they just became an Astros fan. These people, they're not dumb. If you're baseball people, they know what they're up against. because they've watched it twice.
Yeah.
They've watched two teams from this exact division get hot at the right time and just come in and get them. So they've got to be paying attention here. Tonight is game one of the World Series. Speaking of paying attention, Zay sent me one of the greatest videos I've ever seen. Not greatest.
It's great.
It's actually one of the worst videos I've ever seen.
It's great.
But it's one of the greatest at the same time. So let's get into that, and we'll talk about some of the stuff going on in the area here in the Flex segment. Here we go.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
FLXATX.com. We'll get to the local stuff here in a second. But first off, Zay and I both have sent this video out now. Thanks to Zay for finding it. Send it to me. I retweeted. Zay is at @ain'tthat_Zay. I'm at CHastings1049. Please go look at this video of a New Jersey high school football game. The ball has been placed at, let's see, what is that? That is the 12-yard line. I think if I have my yard lines correct. Ball's on the 12 as the video begins. Ref's going to go over and measure. We're going to see if they got the first down here. Zay, we got the marker. The marker's a little bent as we bring it out on the field.
A little bit.
Yeah, let's see. We're going to stretch this out. He clearly doesn't have the first down, so I'm going to take the ball here. I'm going to move it, and now he's got the first down.
Just move the ball.
He physically moves the ball a good 3 to 4 inches to have it meet up with the stick and then gives the first down. This official, the white hat, does what all of us fans want to do when we see that our team is short, Zay. We've all wanted to do it. He actually physically moved the ball, said first down. Somebody tweeted it out and says, I'm just going to let it sit here. You make the call. Wow.
Yeah, it's a damn shame, man. New Jersey football, I mean, it's not like it's Texas football, so I doubt if anybody's head was taken off after this play. But, yeah, it's absolutely bogus, man. Just clearly he moves the ball. I don't know why you would do that. I don't know if it's because it's the bent-ass marker. I don't know,
dude.
But, hey, I don't condone violence, but you remember when the John Jay players knocked out the refs a few years ago?
Yeah, I do, yes.
Yeah, this is why they get knocked out. This is why stuff like this.
Come on now. That's terrible.
This is why stuff like this happens, because some refs out there are just bad.
That is wicked, dude. Yeah, that's a terrible way to go about officiating. It feels like, I don't know what that movie is going to be called when they make it, but I think De Niro and Joe Pesci are in it when they're the two officials when they get that done. All right, so in the area last night, we had a couple of big blowouts to talk about. Zay, let's just get to it. Westlake beat your Bowie Bulldogs 45-0. Do you know anybody who went out to Burger to eat the nachos and watch that?
I felt like a lot of people were there last night, to be honest. And, yeah, I mean, you got to give it to Westlake. They're just that type of team. They're just going for a fourth consecutive championship for a reason. Offensively and defensively, they're absolutely stacked. And, yeah, I just hope my dogs didn't come out with no injuries. That's all I can hope for.
Okay. Because
you get drove by this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I, in a way, saw this coming. But, hey, all we could do is get better today.
And now, right. And then now you got to turn right around and go to Lake Travis next week.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you finish your season, is the double lake treatment. Now, did you tell me earlier that they hung around at like a 9-0 for a while?
Yeah, in the first quarter it was 9-0, and then that changed real quick.
Yeah.
Jaden Greyhouse had a couple touchdowns, and yeah, Kubeka, the Kansas commit, also had a touchdown, and they're just stacked. You know, we talk about all those guys, Colton Vosick, but I don't think we talk about their quarterback, Paxton Lann, enough. I mean,
right.
He has to step in the shoes of Cade Klubnik, a 5-star guy who's royalty in those Westlake parts. And that's not hard to do, that's not easy to do, especially when you're a 17, 18-year-old kid. So shout out to Paxton Lann getting the job done. I know he started off a little slow due to injury, but he looks like the right person for the job. And, yeah, they blasted my Bulldogs last night. Brutal.
49 in a row now for Westlake. Congrats.
That's fun.
Coach Salazar, my God. And that crew going for four state titles in a row. One more game to go for them in the regular season as they beat Bowie last night. LBJ was going after that a couple things. A district title if they won, but also Cedric Alexander and the rushing record. Cedric did not quite get to the record. He needed 240. He got like 195, so he still needs 45 yards to get the all-time AISD rushing record. He'll shoot for that against Crockett next week, but let's get to this week's game. LBJ wins 96-0. And I know there's been a lot of discussion about the game and how does it get to that point and blah, 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 blah. There is one important fact you need to know about their opponent last night that will help to flesh this out a little bit. Because last night, when Craig Way and Keith Moreland went up to the East Side coach to talk about kind of how things were, what to expect and this and that, Craig says, "Hey, I see the kicker's name on here. Who's the punter?" And the coach responds, "Oh, we don't punt." You don't punt? And by the way, Zay, we double-checked. It wasn't just about Cedric and any of that. They have no punting stats on the season. They don't punt. I don't know if there's no soccer team at the school. I don't know if nobody... Dude, you and I could go out into an open field and figure out a way to at least kick like a 20-yard punt, couldn't we?
Yeah, you would think, but yeah, that's absolutely brutal. And you got to feel for some of these schools in the inner city who just don't have enough players to really have a full football team or really like put out a productive ball club. And this is one prime example. It's a weird thing.
So here's another stat Craig laid on us today during Light the Tower. Blew me away. Other than one drive, an interception, I believe, where it started, Craig said the worst field position LBJ had all night long to start a drive was the East Side 37-yard line. So at some point, you got to ask, okay, well, what are they supposed to do? By the way, here is what they did. Starting in the second quarter, they ran the clock. Running clock starting in the second quarter. LBJ, once it got to 96, they were instructed not to score at all. I'm assuming even if they'd picked the ball off and were going pick six. By the way, they scored 8 seconds into the game with their defense. 8 seconds in. And then had a pick six later on. They're trying to get ready for the playoffs. We said it yesterday. You know, you're trying to be a hardened team. You're trying to get yourself sharpened up. How do you do that when the other team is not punting and giving you that kind of field position and you're running in easily? So at one point of the game, and Craig said because of the running clock, it only ends up being three drives of this, but LBJ ended the game with three kneel downs and a punt, three straight drives. So they could have made it 100. They could have made it well more than that from what I understand. It's a tough situation, but that kind of helps explain it. Before you go ripping on LBJ, for, oh my God, they ran it up. It was 96. No, it wasn't that. The other team doesn't punt. That's a part of the discussion from last night. Congrats to Alexander for getting close to that record. Hopefully he'll grab that next week. And congrats to LBJ for winning the district. But I don't know how they know. It's just got to be hard for them to figure out how good they are right now.
Yeah, and if you're Coach Finner, how do you balance, you know, being competitive and getting ready for the playoffs, but also not trying to embarrass teams, you know, because nobody wants to do that. I know Coach Finner, he doesn't necessarily want to win by that much. Winning is fun and whatnot, but still, it just kind of gives you a sickly feeling in your stomach when you see somebody get ran by 96 points. And again, you just feel bad for some of these schools out there that just don't have enough players to put out on the field to, you know, put some competitive out there. Yeah. It's tough.
To me, it's not about Jimmys and Joes and lines of scrimmage. If you are that bad, the one thing you should probably be focused on is we got to be able to punt a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we're going to do it a great deal. Come on now. You don't punt. That's crazy. That is crazy. All right, so Flex segment every day at 1:30. Remember, tonight we've got our other two teams in action for you. Lake Travis going over to Legendary House Park to take on Austin High. That's a 7:30 kick. Vandegrift with a 7 o'clock kick. Last home game for the Vipers. They are hosting Vista Ridge tonight. And that is a 7 o'clock kick. 6:30 is the Flex pregame. By the way, I heard a discussion today. I don't know what needs to happen for this, but Zay, I heard talk today that somewhere in the playoffs, maybe quarterfinal round, Vandegrift Dripping Springs. The rematch could happen. The rematch could happen. I've been saying all season long, I would love to see both those teams at full power, full health, and full cardio going at each other, because that first game had a lot of weird elements to it.
Oh, you're a completely different football team from week one to the playoffs.
Holy mackerel. If we get Buchanan against Novosad in the playoffs, get yourself to that stadium. I don't care where they play.
Yeah, I'll take all of that.
Dude, I might drive to El Paso. I don't know where they're playing that game. I may not go that far, but I'd drive a ways. I would drive a ways to see that game. Maybe not El Paso. Maybe Lubbock. Maybe I'd go to Lubbock for that one if somebody would pay for my gas. All right, coming up, where are we at in society? We got Jeff Ketchum coming up at 2 to talk Longhorns and a little World Series, because he is pulling for those fighting Phils. We know a lot of you are pulling for the Astros. We'll get his thoughts on the World Series. Up next, though, we'll see where Zay is. He already sent me the video of the official in New Jersey. Where could we go from here? We'll find out on the Horn. Oh, that is funky right there.
Take your time.
I'm not sure where this song was played back in the day, but I bet there was cocaine in the bathroom.
Hell yeah.
That's my guess. I'm not sure what our year is here, but I'm going to guess like a late 70s to mid 80s kind of range.
Think about the drugs that were rolling around Soul Train.
Oh my God.
During the time. Think about how many people were on one at Soul Train.
Can you imagine? Wow. Okay. So now I'm hearing, it's a female voice I'm hearing now, right?
Yeah.
Is this a group or just a single?
A group.
I don't know. I've never guessed this one, so I'm just going to guess it. The Weather Girls. I have no idea.
No.
I have no idea. Who is
SOS
it?
Band.
SOS Band. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Do it tonight.
Uh-huh. It's a good groove going right there. Hairspray and cocaine. That's what's powering that.
Yeah.
That's what's powering some of that right there. I love when I hear music and I know that there's no way everybody was sober.
Yeah, hell no.
My daughter wanted me to watch because nowadays they do still make videos. I don't know if y'all older folks know this. They still make them. You just got to go online to YouTube or whatever to watch. So my daughter sends me to YouTube to watch the latest Harry Styles video because we went to the concert and I have a mild interest in Harry stuff. She's like, hey, he made a video for this song. And she told me, though, she's like, I don't know if you should waste your time. And I said, what? And she's like, it's just really weird, really strange. And I watched the whole video and I walked into her and I thought, lots of drugs. Lots of drugs were involved in making that video.
Yeah.
I didn't know
Lizzo was in town this past week.
I did not either.
At the Mood?
Was she?
Yes.
Okay.
You know how many beautiful, thick women were at that place probably? You kidding me? Man. From a man who loves some thick women, that's like heaven for me. I'm married to a thick one. I love my wife. She is beautiful. But, yo, just for some people watching and stuff, man, I bet you they showed out at the Lizzo concert.
Showed out, dressed up.
Oh, man.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, I love me some Lizzo. Stop fat shaming her.
It's gotta be
I can't stand you people out there, fat shame Lizzo. Shame on you.
That's got to be an interesting show, too. Just the versatility that she provides. The fact that she gets on stage and plays a flute. Like, and does it the way she does it.
Yeah.
And incorporates it into that style music. We've had a flute get incorporated into pop music very rarely over the years. The Jethro Tull thing and whatever. But the fact that she pulls it off in that realm. If you'd ever told me, Chad, there's going to be this massive hip-hop artist. Female hip-hop artist. And she's going to play a flute on stage, and the crowd is going to eat it up? I'd have said you were crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What she does with that mouth, man.
Oh, mercy. Woo-hoo! Yeah. And my kids played me a little bit off of that new record. There's some good stuff on there.
Yeah. She makes some catchy stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. She'll throw a hook in your brain that will not go away. All right. So we've got the SOS Band. We got Saxon. We got Jerry Lee Lewis. Rest in peace. Dead at the age of 87 today. The Killer is dead. And the Pretenders, a part of the show today. All right. Let's go. Where are we at in society? See what Zay's got for us.
Where are we at in society today?
All right, Zay, you already sent me the video of the referee from New Jersey.
Yeah, that ref should be fired immediately.
Yeah, please go check that out if you haven't, at chastings1049 at @ain'tthat_Zay. What do you got here?
All right, Chad, so who would you consider has the best/worst fan base all of sports? Best in when your teams are rolling, they're great, but when teams aren't, they will kill you.
Philly.
Ding, 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 ding. All right. Yeah. So Philly, they got a lot to be excited about. Clearly, they got a team in the World Series. The Eagles are doing well. But the Sixers are not.
Okay.
They are 1-4.
Oof.
And even though Philly fans have a lot to be excited about, they aren't with the Sixers so much to where a man has made a diss track to Doc Rivers.
Oh, my God.
A rap diss track.
Specifically to him, not the team, just to Doc Rivers?
Just Doc Rivers.
All right.
Now I'm going to play a little bit for you and the people.
Okay.
You had him beat it hard and you ain't win at all. I swear to God, this dude's a fraud. Everybody want to coach, the Sixers taking calls. A real coach wouldn't have Harden beating for calls. Just another year that you underachieved. It's time to pack your bags, the whole city wants you to leave. Maury make the call, I want all his duties relieved. Said you old players coach, I don't know what to believe. Top 15 all time, yeah that list was kept. You don't make adjustments, you don't know how to adapt. Always stuck up in your ways, your fam gon' need a map. But if I say another word, then my phone will be tapped. How you compare yourself to Greg Popovich? At this point, you and him are polar opposites. The lead you blew inside the bubble's considered a crime. He won with young Kawhi, you lost with Kawhi in his prime.
Oh!
Live City Clippers led by CP3. You the reason they call Paul George Pandemic P. KG, Paul Pierce, Rondo, Ray Allen. And you got one ring to show for all that talent.
Wow.
Yeah, he goes on, but we don't got time for all that.
Wait, Doc's got a ring? Oh, Boston. Right, he's got the ring. All right, I'm standing for that. Wow. That is so good.
Philly fans are insane people.
There's 10 levels to why that's great, but I think my favorite little detail is the fact that he laid out the front end of a rhyme with Greg Popovich, and he didn't rhyme it with the B word. He rhymed it with something totally normal.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. That was just a well thought out, I'm going to rip this dude, that Kawhi back and forth line. That's hilarious. That is so funny that the Phillies are doing what they're doing, that the Eagles are doing what they're doing, and that this guy would be focused on Doc Rivers. That dude must hate football and baseball. That's the only explanation I've got.
It just shows that you still can't please these people.
No.
Like, they need all their sports to be successful and riding high. And
those pro towns, man. Yeah, you got to have it all.
Got to have it all. So I'm one of those Doc River haters in a way. I definitely think he's overrated and he blows leads and series all the time. He's had so much talent throughout his tenure in the NBA, and he's been riding that 08 Celtics championship for I don't know how long.
Yeah, it's like, to me, there's relationships in your life that are, you know, your friends, or it's a work relationship that you're not a part of. But when you watch it, you just think, yeah, there's no way that's going to work. There's no way, because that ingredient and that ingredient, the idea of Doc Rivers coaching James Harden has never made sense to me.
No.
Ever. I just feel this weird, each of them can destroy your situation, and they're both in this one. So I never fully trust their ability to get to that finish line, because they've got both of those guys at the same time.
Yeah, and they're kind of like the Lakers in a way. I don't think they'll be able to get over the hump either. Joel Embiid, just him and James Harden, it doesn't mesh well.
Right.
You know, and they have the slowest pace in the NBA because James Harden's waiting for Joel Embiid to get up the court. And you know James, his weight be fluctuating too, eating cheesesteaks and stuff. So you never know how in shape he really is, especially at the start of the season.
James Harden's slow pace. I've never really thought that watching him play ball. I've never really thought that, Zay. Oh, that is a great hunk of sound right there. Does the song have a title, by the way? I forgot to ask.
No, I want to say it's just the Doc Rivers diss track.
The Doc Rivers diss track.
Yeah.
Man, I hope that guy never decides he wants me fired, because that is brutal stuff. That dude will get after you. 2 o'clock hour coming up. Jeff Ketchum of Orange Bloods at 2. We'll get you Why Today Matters on this October the 28th at 2:30, including a message for all of you big-time athletes out there, especially all of you big-time male athletes. They'd like to party a little bit. There's a lesson in today's birthdays from Uncle Chad. I promise you. This is The Horn.